This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. There's more on power987.co.za.
I'm Dumisang Zovu. Thank you for listening to this Power Update podcast.
Right, so we begin today's program with reports that only 60% of companies in South Africa have actually been complying with lockdown regulations put in place to curb the spread of COVID-19. This comes after just over 2,700 inspections were carried out between the 30th of April and the 8th of May. Now, according to the findings, state-owned enterprises and other government entities actually scored below that figure of 60%, coming in at 50% compliance. These figures also come as companies and businesses, as we know, attempt to kind of reboot some kind of economic activity under already very stifling and very strict rules and restrictions under the Level 4 lockdown. Inspector General at the Department of Labour, Aggie Mwila, joins us on the line for more on this. Aggie, thank you so much for your time and thank you for joining us.
Hi, Ntokozo.
Hi.
Thanks for having me.
A pleasure. The last time the department released information concerning the inspection of companies, just over 1,500 companies, if I'm not mistaken, had been investigated at that time. About 45% were found to be flouting regulations. Now we're seeing 60% compliance. This marks a bit of an improvement. What are you noticing as a department when it comes to, you know, lockdown regulations and companies adhering to those? Is there proper compliance? Is there still some difficulties? Where are the struggle areas? Yeah.
It fluctuates. You know, when you think things are getting better, they tend to go in a reverse gear.
Mm.
Actually, the latest information that is going up to the 11th of May
mm-hmm.
is that we've now done about 2,922 inspections.
Mm.
The compliance level has gone down to 50%.
Mm.
So it's not even 60%
anymore.
Mm. Yeah. So we're picking up a bit of a pattern. Is that even at the beginning of the lockdown, we noticed that the compliance level started off very slowly. And what we're noticing again is that since the stage 4 level, it seems like we've gone backwards. It is not quite clear what the issues are, but obviously we've got more workplaces that are now open and we're going to new places as well. And I need to point out, Ntokozo, that all our inspections at this point in time are driven by complaints.
Okay.
So we're inundated with complaints. So the good news is that people are beginning to take charge of their own health and safety issues, which is a positive for us.
Yes.
As we've always said, that the first line of defense will be the employees themselves.
Yeah.
And the people that are exposed to unbecoming health and safety issues, because you've got to be able to stand up for your rights.
Yeah.
Because your health is your health, your safety. It's important that when you go to a workplace, you need to come back home, you know.
Mm.
So we're picking up that in most instances, you find that there isn't even a risk assessment to begin with.
Okay.
And in terms of occupational health and safety, Section 8, that would be the starting point. The responsibility of ensuring a health and safety workplace lies with the employer. And the starting point will be you put together a risk assessment, because then the risk assessment will then inform the type of health and safety environment that you've got to expose your workers to, what type of PPEs they need to be given, and what type of measures should be put in place. So at this point in time, we're also looking at the directions that were signed off by the minister, and as well as COVID regulations. Just in terms of enforcing.
Right. When your inspectors go into these companies, are they starting at that very same starting point, looking at whether or not companies have conducted risk assessments and that companies aren't applying some kind of a general approach, generalized approach or a blanket approach to the COVID-19 preventative measures, that they are indeed unique to the dynamics of that company, the working dynamics of that specific company?
Yeah. Definitely.
And if there's no risk assessment, then already the company's in the red, so to speak.
Yeah. Once you find that a company doesn't even have a risk assessment to start off, then that's a big red flag.
Mm.
Because your working environments are unique. What drives the risk assessment is the type of production you're involved in. Whether the dangers, the potential hazards, and so on. So there can't be a blanket a risk assessment. However, we also go to we conduct follow-up inspection. Mm. In instances where we've issued out notices, we go back to make sure that those have been complied with. In instances where we've issued out prohibition notices, where we find that issues that were raised have now been dealt with, we revoke those type of notices.
Okay.
So some of our inspections will be followed through. Some of them will be like we'll be going to the particular workplace for the first time. So when you go there for the first time, we always emphasize on a responsive risk assessment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we couple the whole thing with advocacy mm-hmm. because we believe that people need to be informed. So they would build into our processes a certain level of advocacy so that people begin to understand the importance and the content of our legislation.
No, absolutely. Lastly, before we let you go, it has been noted that state-owned enterprises and other government entities performed just under, I suppose, the rest of the companies in the country. Obviously, that figure has now changed because the figures we were working with was the 60% that has now decreased to 50%. Perhaps one can assume that there's been a similar decrease when it comes to SOEs as well. What do you make of the fact that these public departments where public servants, public officials are working, government entities, that those aren't performing as well and they're not up to the standard that they should be at?
I think for us, it's whether public or private, we find that the dynamics are the same. A few weeks ago, actually, the public sector was quite leading. I think compliance levels were almost at 67%. Whilst the private sector was lagging behind.
Mm.
So it tends, like I said earlier, it tends to really fluctuate. And the latest figures are that private, rather public enterprises are now at 49%. So you find that situations differ really, and it goes with the areas that are being flouted. Some are such that they're not so serious. You probably issue out an improvement notice, which means that it's probably about housekeeping issues. You know, that things could be better, and therefore we're giving you an improvement notice for you to make sure that you at least improve.
Mm.
In other instances, you find it's a contravention notice, where there's certain areas of the Act, of regulations that will be contravened, but they're not serious enough to warrant a shutdown or a stoppage of certain activities. So non-compliance doesn't always mean that it will result in the shutting down or prohibition of workplaces. So in terms of the comparison between private and public, it's neither here nor there because the figures tend to fluctuate and it's difficult to read a particular trend or a pattern.
Okay.
But what you're picking up in both instances, and something that I've always emphasized when I get a platform of this nature, is that as a country, we really are not building a culture of occupational health and safety.
Mm-hmm.
It does tend to be compliance for the sake of it, rather than building in a complaint for doing the right thing because it is the right thing to do.
Right.
Not because you don't want to be, not because you don't want to be caught out.
Mm.
But it's just, it does, it just needs to be a culture so that you put a premium on human life.
Sure.
There is no replacement for that.
All right, Aggie, thank you so much. We are going to have to leave it there.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.